And I said, oh, well, I'll probably change it when something big happens to it, something goes wrong with it. And the chap in the garage said, you'll be bored with it before it goes wrong. You'll get bored with it. In other words, yeah, you'll change it before it breaks down. Because you want something new and something different. Not for any particular reason. You won't want to change it because, you know, it's costing too much. But you just fancy a change. You just fancy something different. And that's what the garage man said to me. He was actually saying that it's such a reliable car. But also, he was saying, you'll be bored with it. And there's quite a bit of truth in that. Because we live in an age where we are quite well off. We're all quite well off. You think, oh, I'm not well off. But actually, our concerns are not with where will I get the next meal from, but how can I cut down from eating too much? That's what we get concerned about. We don't get concerned with, oh, where'd I get... See, if we went to somewhere in Africa, we'd be looking out for the next meal. If we went to somewhere in Asia, we might be wondering where the next meal comes from. But we, in this country, we're thinking, oh, how can I cut down on my food? See, we live in a different society. How can I? And we live in a wealthy society. And we're driven by lots of different things. And we buy things for a change or because of fashion. That's what, we don't necessarily buy things out of necessity. So we'll buy things out of that we've changed the colour of the room, so now I need a new kettle to match the colour of the room. It doesn't mean, not I'm going to buy a new kettle because my kettle's broken down, but we might buy a new kettle because it doesn't match the room. That kind of thing. We might buy something, you know, well, I belong to a club, and the boys all enjoy buying their bicycles. Probably because they think it'll go faster, but they just like something new, a new toy. And that's the way it is. And we just change things as and how. That's perhaps fashion, just to satisfy something. But we can afford to, we do it. That's how it is. And this is society we live in. And of course, it creates work, doesn't it, when we go and buy things and we chop and change things. I can understand it creates business. And people have always bought and sold things. But we live in a consumer society. That's what we live in. We live in a society that we've probably got more than two pairs of shoes. We've probably got more than two outfits of clothing, yeah? People years ago, the poor had one outfit, maybe two, if they were lucky. So, and I'm not. This isn't an anti-consumerist message, but I'm just trying to get somewhere with this. But we do live in a consumer society. We don't think anything of just going and trying something new, buying something new, getting something new. That's the society we live in. And it makes us feel good. And perhaps when I was at college, one of the things they said, the customer is king. That was a phrase. Customer is king. Anyone who works in retail, customer is king. You have to look after your customers, because if you're a shop and you treat your customers badly, what will they do?
Go elsewhere.
That's what we do. You wouldn't go, oh, I'm going to that shop because they really treat me badly. I'm off elsewhere. Customer is king. And if you're a customer, whether you're right or wrong, you're right. Does that make sense? Customer's always right. It's the same principle. Customer is always right, whether you're right or wrong. Do you know, I went and bought a CD once. I won't tell you which one it was. I took it home, put in my CD player. It had all swear words in the middle of it, or everywhere, actually. And it was some modern singer, me being young. And you know what I did? I took it back. I took it back. I said, I took it to the shop, and I said, I don't really want this. I don't like all the words, and it's all swear words. And they took it back. Customers king, customers right. They didn't question it. They just took the song back. Yeah? And, you know, this is what society we live in. Some people, perhaps that's taking, pushing it, but people sometimes go out and get something from some shop that will take things back, wear it out to a party, take it back after the party. It's not right, but that's the sort of, that's abusing the system perhaps too much. But customer's king, and they take it back. And someone told me that there's another, sometimes in some of these big sort of chains, they'd rather just give you another, I won't say the word, a burger, rather than have a fuss, because customer's king. Whether you're right or wrong, they'll just look after you, because they don't want a fuss. They don't want a bad reputation. Customer's king. And does it make you feel good if customer's king? Yeah, we have our rights and we know what to do. And we kind of looked after, and I'm not complaining about it. I'm not complaining about the whole system. But I'm just saying we get bought into it, and we kind of immerse ourselves in the customer is king. And I have my rights, and I'm a consumer. And when I'm a consumer, the money counts. And that's why they look after you, because they want your money. But it's something that we get to grow into, don't we? And we like to be looked after. You know, are you being served? You go into the shop. Oh, how can we serve you today? Or are you being looked after? Whatever phrase might be said to you when you arrive somewhere. Is anyone looking after you, sir? And it's, you know, it's the way you want to be looked after, isn't it? When you go to a supermarket or some big shop, whatever it is. And, you know, these car companies, JD Power and whatever, they do these tests to see which garages look after you the best. And consistently certain garages, certain car company garages, come out top for looking after you. Because when you go in there, they'll make a big fuss of you. And you get treated like royalty, and they might give you a car to replace your car, and you're well looked after. Customer is king. And what, when you're looked after like that, you go and buy another car from there, because your car is good, you're looked after, you're made to feel good, and you buy the next car from there. It makes us feel important, it makes us feel good when we go to these places that look after us in that way. And when we've bought it, yes, it satisfies us up to a point. And sometimes we'll go out and buy something. I would tell you might work just fine, but we go out and buy ourselves a new flat screen. Why do we do that? Because it's the latest thing, isn't it? So we've got to have the latest thing. So we'll go out and buy the latest flat screen TV. Then the new technology comes along, and before you know it, you've got to go and buy that. So you've just bought your whatever screen, and now you've got to buy this screen. And that's the society we live in. We actually have to hold back. And like I say, you know, we buy toys, the men do anyway. But it's society we live in. And you've seen the advert, because you're worth it. Yeah, because you're worth it. I don't know, it's some perfume advert, isn't it? L'Oreal? Oh, L'Oreal. Because you're worth it. And this is the kind of phrase, you're king, you're worth it. And, you know, it's trying to make you feel good. Consumerism. They want your money from you. And, of course, all this advertising, all this philosophy of you'll be satisfied if you get this, you can make yourself better if you have that, has an impact on us, because we chase after these things that make us feel better, because we're told it'll make us feel better. So we just get drawn into this. You're worth it. You need this. You have it. So you just get drawn into a cycle of it. And this materialism and consumerism is all the world has to offer if there is no God. That's all there is to offer if there's no God. You know, and that's what you live in, this consumer materialistic world. And, you know, that's what people are living in. And we are part of this world. And it's not a message against going shopping, by the way. But it's the whole philosophy, we get caught into it. And we live in it, we're immersed in it. And shopping's not wrong, is it? You know, we need stuff. But the consumer attitude can get into us. I'm more important than you. I'm king. I'm there to be served and satisfied. It's how it all operates. You know, we go into town to be made feel, to be looked after, to be pampered, you feel good about it. You've gone into so many shops and perhaps they've said, what can we do for you, sir? Can we, da, 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 da. And we buy our things and we come away. And so consumerism can generate some sort of satisfaction up to a point. But we enjoy being looked after and pampered. But how does it affect us in our Christian life? Because in the Christian life, we can take on the same attitude that I go to church to be served. So I come here to be served. And if we take the same attitude that we do when we go shopping, the consumer attitude, and it's all about me, because consumer, it's all about me. When I'm a consumer and I go into town, it's all about me. I'm not going in there to encourage the shopkeeper. I'm not going in there to encourage that person that's fitting shoes. I want them to do a nice fitting on me and get me the right pair of shoes and the best pair of shoes. And my aim isn't there to go and bless that person and say, well done. You could do, but that's not our aim, is it? When we're not going into town to think, I wonder how many people I can bless today when I go shopping. My aim, it's all about me. It's all about me when I go shopping. Make sure I get the best pair of shoes at the best value, at the best deal. And if there's any problem, make sure I can take them back. It's all about me. It's all about me. Is our attitude the same on a Sunday? So if I come to church, for example, it didn't do much for me today. The worship team didn't really do it for me today. I didn't really feel anything. I wasn't uplifted. Yeah. Is that what we bring in? Because that's, in a sense, the same sort of attitude that we'll take shopping. And recently, when I was out street pastoring, I met someone from another church. I know the person. And they go to quite a big, lively, happening church. I'll put it that way. I won't say where. I won't say who the person is. And this person said to me, the worship, it wasn't doing anything for it at the moment. They weren't getting anything out of it. They were feeling a bit sort of down. You know, it wasn't hitting the mark. And I thought, well, I don't know if anything's changed at that church over the last 6 months, a year, 2 years, whatever. And I said, Well, it might have been a bit harsh, but I said, the first thing I said to was, remember, it's not about you, it's about Jesus. See, that church, going to church isn't about you, it's about him. So you're going there for Christ, not for you. She was going for to be served. Now, I don't know enough about her own personal life to what was going on, but I don't suspect anything particularly has changed in the church over the last 6 months. And maybe something's going on in her own life. But church wasn't doing it for her all of a sudden. And I said, well, it isn't. It actually, it's not about you anyway. It's about Christ. That's the first thing. And I didn't want to be harsh because I just wanted to, the priority has to be him first. And I know a lot of people would have waded in there, yeah, okay, come to our church, da, da, da. But see, that just feeds into the consumer bit now. I'm not happy there. Well, go to that church. I'll go to that one because, you know, they do that better. And that's it. You shop around and we can get the best deal. And, you know, that would have been the easy answer. The easy answer would have been try a different church. That would have been the easy option. But really, what's going on in that person's life is probably an issue. Not the worship wasn't doing it. The worship, I don't think, has changed. I wouldn't think it has unless they got a new leader. But it isn't about her. It's about Christ. I was saying, perhaps it was a bit harsh, but I just thought I had to say that anyway. And I just left it at that and hope, you know, things work out. And it may be that this person moves church, and sometimes that is the answer, you know, and I'm really saying this just to think about these things. I'm not having a right or wrong, because sometimes Christianity, the walk, it's about trying to work out things and balance things through, but it's about working out our attitudes and what of the world is affecting us when we think we've got it sorted, but other things are influencing us and our attitudes can be influenced by all that's going on around us. And we live in a rich, and we are rich, you might not think so, but you need to just go to India or Africa and you'll know you're rich. You know you want to come back. You're not going to, I tell you what, you go there, you're not going to say, I'm going to stay there. You'll want to come back. You'll have your NHS, you'll have your everything. We're rich. We are rich. And you want to come back. And that's the truth. And you'll suddenly find yourself in the whatever percentage of the wealthiest part of the world that you live in. And we are. And it runs into everything that we do. And our attitude has to be a sort of self-restraint. But a consumer attitude, it's about me, how can I best be served, comes into it all. And I'll just look at a couple of readings here. Philippians 2, 3 and 4 first. Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also the interests of others. So it's not quite consumerist philosophy there. It's about considering others and not just what's in it for me. Oh, I didn't think much of that. I didn't like the way they served the tea this morning. You know. Perhaps you want to say, well, bless you, Linda. Thank you for making the tea. That's shocking, isn't it? Rather than, well, Linda didn't say hello to me. So anyway, and then I'll just look at Romans. And this is what Ian often mentions, but I think so much of what goes on around us so subtly impacts us. And we like to have obvious things that we can say affect us, but some of the subtle things impact us in a big way. and the thinking and philosophies of this world and what we get caught up in, we might be able to hold back, but they still influence our attitude. And in a way, they only just come back to selfishness, because that's all it really is in the end. Selfishness just is me first. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you have to keep doing that. You have to keep doing that because things keep affecting us. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. And in a way, that's what I'm saying, really. Just examine yourselves. I often say that. It's best thing is just to be able to examine yourself. In accordance with the measure of faith God has given you, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. And interestingly, it goes straight on into this. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. I'll stop on that because, see, consumerism, it's all about me. I'm king, serve me. But the church isn't like that. And we can take that attitude that what's in it for me? And what made me do that questionnaire? When I was doing a little bit of research about consumerism, one church, I think it was in Germany, it was either a Catholic or something, Lutheran or something, I'm not sure what it was. And they had a questionnaire to give to the people about their priest. And it was all about what service he offered them, whether he did this and whether he did that. And it was like comparing the different priests that they had, and it just seemed so sort of this world that they could sort of analyze and compare priests. And I think God would be sort of looking at that, thinking, what's all this about? But that's what the world demands now. It demands this, that we serve me. But we do need to receive, but we should come to give. We are here to serve Christ. And when we give, we receive. So it's better to give than to receive. So think about that, because that's what Jesus said. It's better to give than to receive. And so if we just come to receive, you get the poor portion. But if you come to give, you get the rich portion. So when you get to heaven and you say, oh no, look at me, I've got a Mini and he's got a Rolls Royce. You say, well, yeah, but he gave a lot. So it is better to give than to receive. And I just want us to think, I mean, I've been thinking about this quite a bit, you know, since I've talked about the consumer church. And, you know, I asked one of the other ministers recently in the town, do you think the future of the church is going to be like in America with super churches? Because that's what people will want, because they serve you. You know, like the Asdas and the Tesco's super church brand. Because we like a brand. We all buy brands, don't we? I tend to nearly always buy one type of trainer because I know what it is, and we know what we're safe with our brands. Are we going to end up with super brands, super big churches because they serve me well? I go there and I have this most accomplished team that look after me. I go in there, I get blessed, my socks off, and I come away. And when you look at some of the super churches, will we end up like that? I don't know. It's something to think about. I was just thinking about it. Will we go down that route? The super brand, super big churches. But are we going to church to be served? And I thought about it. If we look at church as like a shop that we're going to be served, we go into to be looked after. But really, we are in a business where we serve. We're working for the King, aren't we? We work for Christ. So in a way, we're not the customer. We are his servants, as it were, his co-workers. We're co-workers with Christ. And we're there to serve, I don't know who. Who are we to serve? Are you there to serve me, or am I there to serve you, or are we all there to serve each other? And who do we serve? See? And just some things to think about. Who's serving who? Am I serving you? Or are you serving me? Or are we all serving each other? Or are we serving the King? Just things to think about. I mull these things over. And because in a way, we want to be part working. We want to be in a business that's working for Jesus, who is our manager. Is that what we want? Do we want to be in a business who our manager? Would we like Jesus to be our manager? Don't know. Would you like Jesus to be your manager? Because that's what he should be. Jesus should be your manager. If you're thinking in business terms. It's a funny thought. But this is, sometimes it's good to think like this. And what we should be doing is making Jesus the King. And we should serve him. Not me the King. I'm the customer. You serve me. But Jesus is the King. We serve him. And I'm going to leave you with those thoughts. Because it was just a message of, I don't know, contemplations. Have some thoughts on it. And I think through it all, you can think about it, because there's not a verse that says, do not be a consumer Christian. But there is like, don't think of yourselves highly and don't, you know, serve one another. So, and we're all part of a body and we all help each other and we're all like arms and legs and things like that and hands and eyes. We all work together for each other. Not a massive big head and little tiny no legs and that, or something like that. We are all a body. And I leave you with those thoughts. Are we consumer Christians?